Will you turn your Bibles this evening to the book of Psalms, chapter 126, Psalm 126. Two or three Sunday nights ago, we spent a little bit of time looking at, we looked at this particular portion of God's Word, and we were considering the subject of the Word of God. Every now and then, I'm just delighted or I'm thrilled with the opportunity of bringing a message relative to the precious Word of God. And I know that was a couple Sunday nights ago. We did not complete or finish what we wanted to share with you. Certainly, I've been in the same portion of Scripture many times. But I want to return to it again this evening, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, as we again tonight look at the thought, the subject, embrace the topic, the precious Word of God. The Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I'd like to simply borrow the word precious from verse number 6 and keep in mind also the thought of seed. I'm thinking of what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." And then Peter continues to write in the same chapter, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this evening for the privilege, the joy, to be able to open the precious Word of God and to be able to read from it and then to be able to preach it. And I pray this evening that the Spirit of God will work in our hearts, making us more appreciative than ever of the precious Word of God. We thank you now for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. The precious Word of God. As we think of the word precious and consider its usage in the Bible, we understand that there's precious promises. We understand that several things in the Bible is considered precious. But among them, we can certainly say tonight that God's Word is precious. I learned many, many years ago when it comes to the matter of serving the Lord, when it came to the matter of ministry, when it came to the matter of anything that God would work, would accomplish in the matter of the church or anywhere else for that matter in terms of ministry, I learned that it is in accordance with the precious Word of God. There's so much today going on around this world and in this country and unfortunately in many churches that certainly is far removed from being scriptural. But it's the Word of God, isn't it? The truth of Scripture, the precious Word of God. I think of that particular passage that I just read from in Psalm 126. "They that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I think of the matter of the tears, weeping, the task going forth, the tools, the precious seed, and then, of course, the treasure. Now, let me again, if I can, as we complete this message tonight, I would like to simply again borrow that particular word, precious, and seek in a very practical way to take the word and let that form an acrostic in terms of conveying the truth that God's word is precious. I can tell you that when it comes to our lives as Christians, we are fed by the word of God, we're nurtured by the word of God, we're encouraged by the word of God, we're comforted by the word of God. And on we could go in terms of the significance and the power of God's Word. As we think of the word precious, my thoughts, first of all, fall upon the first letter of that word precious. I know we've already touched on this, but just by way of review, we think of the P, the power of the Word of God. We could develop that to include the fact that the Word of God, is power is seen in the fact it produces life. It produces life. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. It produces life. When a person is saved by God's grace, it's because they've been exposed to the Scriptures, God's Word. The Holy Spirit obviously takes the Bible, drives its message home to the heart. Conviction takes place, but it's the Bible that produces life. Also, we know it's the precious Word of God that procures cleansing. Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you, John chapter 15, verse number 3. We as Christians, we read the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit works. We're made aware of our sins. We confess our sins. You see, the Bible procures cleansing. It brings conviction. It keeps us from sin, the power of it. It prevents sinning. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It protects the saint. The word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Yes, my friend, this evening could I say to all of us, God's word is precious because of its power. I remember several years ago, in fact, I remember the very night that God saved me. How was I saved? Same way you are. Heard a gospel message. The truth was driven home to my heart. I saw the fact of my sin through the preaching of Scriptures. The fact of Christ's provision for me on the cross of Calvary. And as Brother Martin has said many times, that night under conviction as I placed my trust where God placed my sins in the finished work of Christ. Thank God the burden of sin fell off of me and like Bunyan would say, rolled down the hills into the abyss. The power of God's Word. I believe the Word still works. I believe it's still powerful. Regardless of what is happening today in Christendom, thank God the Bible is still the Word of God. With power. The precious Word of God. Precious because of its power. Precious because of its reproof even. It's reproof. It reproves. It opposes. It rejects all that is unholy, all that is vile, all that is wicked. It upholds righteousness and purity and morals and ethics. The Bible's reproof. Thank God it serves notice on Satan. He's a conquered foe. It's reproof. I'm glad this evening for the Bible's reproof. I'm thankful that when we read it, when we're exposed to it, we're made aware of where we are. And how we need the Savior's help. It reproves. Then I think of the E reminding us of its eternality. Its eternality. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. It is eternal. Down through the pages, the times of history, there have been attempt after attempt to try to discredit, to try to destroy God's precious word. But thank God it survived. It's eternality. It's just like the illustration we used a couple Sundays ago about the ship at sea. Foggy night. You remember this. And the captain sees a light at a distance. And he flashes the signal thinking it was a ship. And he said, change your setting. He says, I'm the captain, change your setting. And eventually the message come back from what he thought was a ship. It said, this is the lighthouse. You change your setting. And I tell you tonight, it's God's word. It's the lighthouse. It's the stable. It's the standard. And we know that in a church, the Bible, the word of God is our standard of faith and practice. It's what we go by. It's our operation manual. And you know, it is amazing today when you talk to so many people, you ask them things relative, questions relative to the Bible, the answers that you hear. But my friend, it's the Scriptures that we must depend upon. It's precious because of its eternality. Then, I think this evening of another precious letter within that word, and that's the word comfort. I like what Paul says. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I know you've read this many times, but let me just go ahead and read it again. Romans chapter 15. I'm talking about the comfort of Scriptures. Comfort of Scriptures. See, it's comfort. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. Know what Paul said. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Comfort of the Scriptures. Let me give you a test tonight. How many times have you found yourself troubled, bothered, depressed even, discouraged, and you open the precious Word of God, begin to read the Scriptures, a passage of Scripture touches your heart, the Holy Spirit shines light upon it, you find yourself encouraged and blessed by the Word of God. I remember years ago as a student, Bible college, I was sitting in Dr. Tom Lawrence's class, Brother Martin. I still remember this. Many times I was ready to hang it up. And I can remember though, going in his class, and he was teaching a class at the time called The Life of Christ. And I'd go in class and I'd think, this is the last day. If I make it through this day, this is it. I'm going back. Well, what did I do before the priest? Whatever I did. Can't hardly even remember. Then old Dr. Lawrence, he'd start exalting Christ, magnifying the finished work. And I'd sit there and my heart would be thrilled, and I'd be thinking about that time, I think I'm going to hang around here a little bit longer. The comfort of Scriptures. I mean, there's nothing like God's Word to give you comfort and encouragement. I mean, the Bible is full of promise after promise. I'm told that there's 819 promises in the Word of God. I don't know how accurate that is, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there weren't more than that. Comfort after comfort. The comfort of promises. The comfort of promises. I think of many, many times of those precious promises. Somebody said, it's the blood that makes safe, but it's the Word that makes sure. And yes, this is indeed the precious, precious Word of God. Now let's go just a step further. When I think of the precious Word of God, yes, I think of the power of it. The power of it. I think of what it does. It reproves, it convicts. Then I think of the E, it's eternal. And then the C, the comfort of Scriptures. And yes, yes, the I, the inspiration. The inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The inspiration. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The inspiration of Scriptures. The meaning, God breathed. God breathed. The extent. We think of inspiration tonight. What about the extent of it? Not merely thoughts, ideas, but right down to the words. We throw a theological word around, which may or may not be very significant tonight, but we think of the word plenary, verbal plenary, words, and then all of it, right down to its words. The inspiration of Scriptures. I can stand up here tonight and I can read to you an article, let's say on the newspaper. Of course, if I did that, you'd be so depressed. Everyone would probably jump over a bridge. Or I can read a humorous story. Oh, yes. You know, you may get somewhat thrilled. You may shed a crocodile tear or whatever. And it may move you emotionally. But I'll tell you, only God's Word is inspired. Only God's Word is God-breathed. And after and another point, could I make this evening? When it comes to the Bible, I believe the Word of God is relative. It's relative to where we are. It's not a book that's outdated. It's still relevant. It still meets our needs. It still has God's power upon it. It has not lost its freshness. It's still the precious Word of God. Aren't you thrilled to know that? It's inspired. You see, a person can write a book, and almost before his pen leaves the paper, it probably needs to be revised already in certain points, but not the Bible. Sometimes we get to thinking about modern times, about where we are, about where the church is, about pressing issues of the day, of contemporary issues. And some people are misled to believe that the Bible is not relevant to the times. But we know different, don't we? It still saves. It still comforts. It still gives guidance. It's still the book of all books, the precious Word of God. Precious in its inspiration. I think of the very words leading me to say tonight that the Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Now, we also are wise enough in Scriptures to understand that it contains untrue statements in terms of the record. It also gives to us statements that were made, for example, by the devil. We certainly wouldn't follow the devil's advice, would we? But yet the record of it, so far as the record, it's in the Bible, the record is inspired. The inspiration of Scriptures. What thrills me about the Bible is this. Among the other aspects of Scripture that's thrilling, it's the fact of the Bible's ability, so to speak, to touch the hearts of all levels of people, from children to adults. You see, the depth of Scriptures, we can't fathom its depth. We can study it for a lifetime and still feel like we're in kindergarten. There's more. I'll grant this. There's more about the Scriptures that we won't be knowing when we leave this earth than what we know. The depth of it. But yet the thrilling truth is, you can teach the Bible to children in a kindergarten class. You can teach elementary level children. A teacher stands up, teaches the Word of God. They still are reached by the gospel. They still get saved. They're still blessed. Isn't it wonderful how this majestic, powerful, fathomless book still has God's hand upon it to where its message is communicable to all levels of people? Thrilling, isn't it? What's the answer? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. He takes it. He uses the Scriptures. Our hearts are touched. Our hearts are moved. The precious Word of God. Precious because of its power. Precious because of its reproof. Precious because of its eternality. Precious because of its comfort. Precious because of its inspiration. And then I would quickly mention, precious because of its objective. Its objective. We could say this in terms of objective. It does several things. We know this. It reveals a personality in the will of God, doesn't it? It's objective. Reveals the personality, will of God. Here's one. 1 Timothy 2:4, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Reveals the sinfulness and the depravity of man. It serves notice on us. We're sinner, born in sin, inheriting the fallen Adamic nature. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. It's objective. Reveals the depravity of man. The objective of God. It reveals and presents God's remedy for man's condition. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It reveals man's responsibility to respond to the Word of God. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Precious because of its objective. God has given His Word. It is light. It will guide us. It reveals the will of God. Aren't you glad tonight that God has a will? How do we find His will? Through the Scriptures. Through the Scriptures. The will of God. You see, the Lord tonight would have us to know His will and to walk in His will. But you know what though? It behooves us to be men and women of the book, of the Bible, of the Scriptures. I tell you now, you can take this for what it's worth. But let me, my friend, you know what? As we get closer to the trumpet, things aren't going to get better, they're going to get worse. You see, the devil is working overtime, I believe, as we get closer to the trumpet. If there's ever been a time that God's people need to bathe themselves, their souls, with a knowledge of the truth of Scripture, it's now. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. My friend, when the troubles come, when the foundation beneath our feet begins to tremble, we better be sure we're anchored to the truth. We need to be glued to the book. I challenge us all, stay in the Scriptures, read the Word of God, study it regularly, memorize it. The precious Word of God. Precious because of its objective. Then I think of something else tonight. I think of the word precious. I'm reminded of the letter U. Precious because of its unity. 66 books written in three languages over a period of 1,600 years by over 30 men, but yet unity. No contradiction at all, none. Always understand this. Anytime any person thinks they found a contradiction in Scriptures, first of all, they're wrong. The contradiction is not in the Word of God. The contradiction is in the person who's attempting to say there's a contradiction. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. The natural man, yes, that person, that unsaved person, yes, that person thinks they have a case against the Scriptures. But the problem is with the individual, not with the Scriptures. Isn't it amazing, the unity of the Scriptures? Major theme carried throughout the Bible. You can take all 66 books, yet you find that Jesus Christ is exalted throughout Scripture. You see redemption being planned. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb prophesied, Old Testament. We see the Lamb identified. And now, of course, the Lamb glorified. It's about the Lamb. It's about Christ. Anywhere you stick the Bible, it bleeds. You think of the multitude of Jewish altars, the blood that stained Jewish altars. But all of it, the time, is conveying the truth that man is a sinner. A substitute is required. And oh, thank God when Isaac there that day, as Abraham took the knife, he said, where is the lamb? Answer, God will provide himself a lamb. And oh yes, that lamb was provided. Thank God for that truth. The unity of Scriptures. Redemption. Man needs a Savior. Christ is the answer. You don't find Bible writers contradicting one another. They're complimenting one another throughout the Scriptures. The unity of the Bible. That reminds me this evening of how it's precious. And then finally tonight, as we look at the last letter, the word precious. Again, keep in mind the power, reproof, eternality, its comfort, its inspiration, its objective, It's unity. Finally, the S, I think of it, sufficiency. In a practical way, as we close tonight, the Bible is sufficient to live by, to feed upon, to rest in. Heard of an illustration of a man that was dying. He said, told his son, he said, bring me the book. And his son said, Dad, what book? He said, what other book is there? The Bible, the Word of God, bring that book. It is the book. It's a book we can pillow our heads upon. It's a sufficient book. I basically said all of that to say this tonight. Love the Scriptures. Read it, study it, appreciate it, give it out, depend upon it. We in 2016 still have the Word of God. Hasn't lost an ounce of its power. It's still as precious today as it was when the pencil hit the pages. Thank God tonight for the precious Word of God. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, this evening we give you thanks for the precious book, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for what your Word has accomplished in our lives. We that have been introduced to its truths, we've been thrilled, we've been stirred, we've been convicted, we've been warned, we've been reminded. We thank you for the integrity of Scriptures. Thank you for the Savior, the one who's highlighted in the Word of God, that name that's above every other name. Thank you tonight again. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our service tonight. Whatever the need might be, if you want to just come and pray at this altar, if you're here this evening without the Savior, obviously come to Christ.